Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
To Bink at Night.
And welcome to Bink at Night, Jay Binkley, Dusty Likens, the Dust Man. Dusty, good evening to you, my friend.
Jay, always nice. It's kind of like a new Monday thing.
You know what? It really is. It doesn't seem like the Royals ever play at night anymore, does it?
No. Pretty soon, it's not going to matter if they play at all anymore.
They didn't play Wednesday night. They didn't play Thursday. They didn't play Friday. They didn't play Saturday. They played. Vern came on at 10 o'clock a.m. today.
Nice.
It was early morning Vern.
I actually listened to a lot of the game today. Today was definitely the day of mowing. So I had to borrow the lawnmower from my stepdad. So I drive to Grain Valley, pick it up, drive back to Lee Summit, mow the yard, take it back to Grain Valley.
You throw it in the back of the car and then just do it?
Yeah.
You lay that blanket down so you don't get grass everywhere?
No. I use we have a truck that he has that I can use, and I just throw it in the back of the bed.
How many lawns do you mow?
Just one, man. I'm too old these days to mow lawns, but that was for all the kids out there listening or anybody that wants to do it. Like, that is the best job in the summer.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Because all you got to do is lock down, it depends on your age, but all you got to do really is lock down six lawns. You lock down six lawns and you charge whatever it is. Like, that's a solid, every 2 weeks you're getting paid.
It's the best job in the world if you have a riding lawnmower.
That's also a big one.
Like one of those zero turn
things. That's a big one.
Just fly down it and be down in like 10 minutes.
To me, there's not a lot of better feelings than a fresh mowed lawn. I mean that. Like when you see your fresh lines, and I know there's people that hate that guy.
Oh, you
like
do Bita, lines?
Big line guy.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We went diagonal today.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. You got to cut it differently every time. I'm a big line guy.
Did you cross it too? So you had the vertical and horizontal?
Oh, yeah. This was cycle three. So there's four cycles. You go,
see, basically
you go vertical, okay. Horizontal, and then you go diagonal each way, and then you go back and start over. Now, I'm sure there's people that will say you don't have to do it every time, and you don't. But man, when you get done and you step back and you see those rows of dark grass, light grass, little line that's even. And then if you're doing it on a Saturday, you can tell when the beer started to kick in because those last few lines are a little crooked. But, man, there's not a lot of better feelings than a fresh mowed lawn that you did.
No, there's no kidding about that. This is a good weekend, though. I mean, I don't know where you stood, Dusty. I know it was
Boy, it's hot in here today.
It is hot in here today.
What'd you say? It was ass hot when we first started?
It's swamp ass hot.
I've got a little bit of a moist back right now. I'm going to be honest with you.
Well, sales is cool.
Of course they are. And we have 2 hours and 97 minutes to go. Not 97, 57.
Yeah, bottom line is.
Who drips first is my question tonight, you or me?
I already am.
So. You're already dripping?
Okay.
I just have dew on the top. But right now, it's getting there for sure.
Well, the bottom line is it was a good sports weekend. I don't know. You probably dove into Wells Fargo, the golf championship.
Max Homa, man.
Would you explain this to me?
Yeah.
That was 40 miles from where the Royals played.
Yeah.
In Baltimore. And it had two rainouts for it, but yet they got golf in.
Weather nature's
40
weird.
40 miles. 40 miles. What'd your fake radar say?
I don't know, but I mean, I watched the conditions on Friday and Saturday. And it did not look fun. Ricky Fowler, what an interesting look he's carrying. I like Ricky, but I think we've lost Ricky on the tour. That's the one guy that I root for to win a major, if it's not Tiger. I want sometime Ricky Fowler to win his... to win his major. But I don't understand that. Like, I get 40 miles from here. That'd be the equivalent of, what, like here to Warrensburg, right? Like, there were times when I would drive
into Blue Springs.
Sure. And there's been times where, like, what was it last week? Right. I was talking to you on the way home. We called each other to talk over a topic that we had that night, and I could hear on your phone pouring rain. And I'm like, it's not even raining where I'm at in Lee's Summit. And then, boy, no more did my door shut, and it was just monsoon. So
it seems like always rainstorms or snowstorms. There for a while, like, I would get all the snow. Like, it would snow on Friday nights all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Drove a lot of snow.
Well, we did the, what was it, the Chiefs-Broncos game up here? Yeah. And it was the blizzard effect when Mahomes said he was a snow guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that was. But yeah, it was a good weekend of sports. I'm loving NBA basketball. A lot of money on the line at that. My buddy and I have bet every single game back and forth. Your boy is down $75, though. But we got Bucks tonight minus one and Memphis plus 10. So,
you know what? You had four NHL games yesterday as well.
Didn't watch one of them.
Formula One racing, which I
Are you into that now?
Yeah, you know what? I do like it.
You watch the Netflix series?
You know, the next Netflix series, Drive to Survive, I can't think of one sport that's benefited. The F1's always been popular. It's popular in Monaco and Bahrain and Spain and Germany and the UK. It's where it's popular.
Yeah.
It's not as popular in the U.S. It's kind of like Premier League soccer.
Sure.
It's popular here, but it's a niche audience.
There's definitely like
F1's that, because you got to get up early to watch it. Like Grant and I are usually watching the end of it on Sunday mornings. We like to pick somebody. I pick somebody he does, even though there's only like three winners in F1. But we do that, then we pick NASCAR just for fun. But, yeah, that Drive to Survive, I know a lot of people watch it on Netflix, and it really increased the popularity. I think Brett Veach was talking about watching that, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he was down there. Mahomes was down there. I mean, a guy that used to work for the Chiefs front office puts the race on in Miami every year. I was talking to Bob about it this morning. And he was talking about, well, he keeps talking about when the Chiefs move to Kansas. I had to correct him and say, they haven't done anything yet, Bob. I still think they're staying in Missouri. But, you know, here's the thing. Pie in the sky, and I told him this too. Because he's like, you know what, maybe they could put a Formula One track at the Kansas Speedway. Here's the thing, Dusty. That race, that one race, Stephen F. Ross, the Miami Dolphins owner, right, made more money in that one race than every single Dolphins home game. Can you imagine that? Making more money on one F1 race than you do an entire season of the Dolphins. That just shows you
a lot of money
the
in
kind
F1.
Of money that F1 brings.
Pretty sure, what is it? Mahomes got the wife a brand new Lamborghini or Ferrari this weekend. That was that was a nice car.
Was that out of Miami?
Probably. I mean, think they're driving back 80 miles per hour home?
Oh, yeah.
I would.
Put it on a truck and get it here.
No, but that is, I was going to say, that is like the one thing I think I'm going to give a go is F1.
It's fun.
My buddy got hooked on the Netflix series because he was like, it's interesting because they're teammates and then they kind of have to like let one of the other guys win, right? Well, everybody's got an ego. You've got an ego. I've got an ego. It just depends on how well you can manage it. And they said that in some of these things, these situations, the drivers on the same team will begin to like hate each other. Cause it's like, well, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do it my way. Well, we need to do it this way. Cause we're a team, 1 and 2. And that's kind of how it goes. Somebody said, I'm really excited for the PGA Netflix series. I'm kind of excited about this TNT keeps coming out with these documentaries about how that one guy, you know, the pharma dude, killed the Wu-Tang. That one, I can't wait, comes out, or maybe it's already out. And the one before that was the Girls Gone Wild one. So there's a lot of good sports. And then did you watch the Derby? I know you're a big race guy.
Derby, the Derby the day before, 80-1 odds winning it.
What time do you turn on the coverage? Because they raced at 6.
Yeah, probably about 20, 25 minutes till the race.
Okay. I watched it, unfortunately, at the start of where they had, it was kind of cool. I got it. It was kind of too long, but I understood what they were doing. And they had every person on their broadcast team start at a different position of where the race, how the race like unfolds. So like the first person was like, this is where the guy that plays the trumpet, which is basically the alarm of like, everyone sit down, shut up. And then they were like, then we move on to this part. We move on to this part. So that's where we started the coverage. And then it was kind of interesting to watch an underdog of 80-1 win the Kentucky Derby because you know they're pissed that he won. Because now the odds of him winning the next one are very slim. But if he does, then everybody's tuned into the Preakness.
Dude, he's still going to stud for tons of money. It's all he's going to do is go to a farm and stud.
Right.
And the thing was, he wasn't even the picture.
What does it mean to stud?
Have sex.
Okay.
Yeah, with other horses. Yeah, to make other horses.
So is that where the term stud came from? Like, that guy's a stud?
I think so. But that's what they do.
Guy's a stud. What's that mean? You want to have sex with him?
Exactly. They get paid to eat grass and do it.
I knew that. Yeah.
It's a good life for them.
And the other part is if they break their leg in the race.
Yeah, then it's glue.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, afterwards, he's like trying to fight with another horse.
Yeah, do you see that?
Yeah, I actually
like
that.
He's like biting it and stuff.
But I mean, like, no one thought to be this guy. No one bets on him. Put it this way, Chris Fallick, who does Game Day, he's a big horse racing guy too. Entering yesterday in parimutuel history, there have been 143 Triple Crown runners sent off 81 or worse. 143, 81 or worse. 33 finished last. 5 didn't finish. 1-1. Donerall, 91-1 back in the 1913 Derby, Dusty. That's well over 100 years ago. And just 5 others managed to hit the board. That's how rare that 80-1 win was. And he wasn't even in the picture with the other horses because he wasn't expected to win. I think a few people might put a superfecta dollar bet and win you $300,000.
Yeah, that's the thing that's insane. Like, I wish that they had it. I don't know if they did or not because I don't know how much longer I watched the coverage. Because at that point, I was probably already 6 or 7 deep of the Farmer's Choice Bush Lattes, by the way, they had this weekend. John Deere cans, they were pretty nice. Had to buy them. Support the farmers, I think. But whenever they were at the end of that race, I thought that was also hilarious with the horse biting. But I was hoping they'd find like some like drunk dude there because, dude, you know there's not a sober person. I take that back. There's sober people in the crowd, but they're few and far between. And I was wondering if there was some guy that like found out he won on an 80-1 horse that put like $100 on it and just became instantly 100K. And I don't know if they found the shot of anybody like that, but that's what I want to see. I want to see the reaction of an underdog winning and the guy that bet won.
But if I saw the horse doing that, like before the race,
yeah,
I used to go to the Woodlands all the time.
You said that they
up.
Peed.
Yeah, if the dog peed or whatever,
I'd bet on the horse.
Yeah, or that
empty
dog.
Bladder, they're
that
lighter.
Dog, yeah. Lighter.
Yeah.
But a feisty horse like that, you might have put some money on. Because guess what? He wasn't even in the picture on the final call.
Well, who is the...
Zozos is next after 3/4 in 1:10.45. And now Epicenter comes splitting horses and is moving up quickly as Crown Pride takes the lead around the far turn. It is Crown Pride battling with Messier. They're stride for stride. Epicenter and Zozos in behind them. Cyberknife swings up on the outside. Sandon gets the rail run and they're into the stretch. And it's Messier, Crown Pride, and Epicenter is coming up on the outside.
Not even mentioned.
Epicenter has taken the lead as they arrive into the final furlong. Sandon is coming after him. Epicenter and Sandon, these two, stride for stride. Simplification down the outside is next. They're coming down to the wire. Epicenter, Sandon, Rich Strike is coming up on the inside. Oh, my goodness. The longest shot has won the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, Rich Strike wasn't even mentioned until like 5 seconds left in that call, Dusty.
But how great is that that's the name of the upset winner?
Yeah, but wasn't even mentioned it, and all of a sudden he wins. And you know how horse racing's probably real snooty, man. They're probably turning their nose up at these,
these for
horses
sure.
That aren't, 80-1 odds. And
oh,
whatever.
It's
and then
great.
All of a sudden he wins. Like, it's a great story.
I love it. I mean, I don't have anything invested in it, so obviously I don't hate it or anything like that. But
it'd
it's
fun
just
to go to, though. It's one of those bucket list item things to go to, the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to do it. I don't have the money to go to the Kentucky Derby. Like, I would feel very like a person from Flea Bottom. That's a Game of Thrones reference for those out there that know. But, like, I feel like it would be one of those events. Kind of like, is it Talladega where everybody sits in the middle at the race and you go, just hang out and get slammed on Friday and Saturday. And then Sunday it's like, keep up. But who knows? See, Bink, I'm not the only one. A few minutes behind on the Odyssey app, but you're totally right. When you hit that fourth mow and your yard is green, it almost looks plaid.
And I don't think they'd ever come here. And I was telling Bob, like, hey, it's such a European thing. That's only the second course in America at Miami. You know that thing's temporary, too, where they put it up? Because they'll remove that track.
Yeah.
And they'll put it back next year. But then next year's getting the race in Vegas. Like, part of the strip will be used for it. So it's 3 already, but in 10 years, who knows? Maybe they won a Heartland race. Who knows? Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com, joins us at 6:30. But coming up next, James Bradbury's now on the market. Should the Chiefs take a look?
This is Bink at Night on your home for Royals baseball and the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Bink and I, Jay Binkley, Dusty Likens. I got a text from Lawn Coach, dude that helped me out, Dusty. He liked your lawn talk. Says you're doing things right. This guy's like the master of turf. Like Christmas Vacation. Clark was the master of, his dad was the master of exterior illumination.
Nice.
And he learned from him, so he respects your lawn work. I respect Lawn Coach so much because one day Wilkowski was helping me do, some landscaping, right? We got too drunk to finish and had to call him to finish the project for us. It's not the first time it's happened. One time I put one of those kids' swing sets up together a long time ago. And those things take all day.
I've heard those things are terrible.
Yeah, they suck.
Yeah.
And it's at least a case of beer to do something like that. And we got hammered. By the end of the night, I had to have a neighbor come finish it because everything looked the same, you know. I'm not getting, you ever been too drunk to finish something?
Well, depends on what the something is.
Like there's something you're putting together, and all of a sudden you're like, realize you're too hammered to finish putting it together.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all been there. I got pretty rowdy on Saturday.
Yeah, but if you're too drunk to do like a chore that you normally should be able to do sober, then
right.
You get it. But I would always call somebody in. You call in reinforcements to help you out.
Yeah, well, you called an actual pro.
Yeah, that's what friends are for. Yeah, it's what friends are for. Yeah, he's a pro long guy.
He just got there and could tell like when the booze kicked in.
Yeah.
Because the foundation was good, the mulch was laid right, then the flowers were going
opposite way. And your crack is sunburnt, you know?
Yeah, well, that sucks. That'd be a terrible spot to get a sunburn.
Yeah, it is. Trust me, because you're down doing landscaping all day. And
you just had plumber's crack?
I did.
You were completely sunburned?
It's a terrible place to get a burn.
So it was just out all day?
Yeah.
So not only did I have that,
but it was loaded.
Mm.
Yeah, not a very fun day.
Not good. That's going to be tough to wipe.
Yeah.
With sunburn.
Yeah. Bukowski was the same way.
That's extremely disgusting to visualize.
Well, James Bradbury has been released by the Giants today, and, you know, Chiefs fans all over this. This is actually one of those things I think you can get behind. You're not asking to trade. The Chiefs are smart not to make a trade for Bradbury, and everybody else knew it. They're going to have to release him. Like, that's some of the hardest cards to play when you're trying to trade somebody, but yet everybody knows that you're going to have to trade him at some point. Although, don't want a draft pick, make sure you get said player. Because now it becomes everybody's, you know, free-for-all. Then the recruiting comes. Then Andy Reid making a phone call. Then Patrick Mahomes making a phone call. And then the teams are more attractive to go play for. This is what happens. Here's Ian Rappaport from NFL Network on James Bradbury.
Yeah, they found a way. Not the way they obviously would have wanted. The hope, of course, was that the New York Giants would be able to trade James Bradbury, find a suitor, someone who could redo a contract with him in a way that made sense for both sides, and they could just offload most of the deal and kind of get out from under that. It was really solid free agent signing for the Giants at the time. He played pretty well, but it was simply not to be with the new staff. Obviously, that makes sense. They wanted to move on. And, you know, I would say it seems pretty clear, Tom, this is a little bit of a rebuild or retool year for the Giants. They're dealing with some money issues, hard up against the cap. This was a way to deal with it. As far as the specifics here, the Giants, of course, as I mentioned, could not trade James Bradbury, but they do get more than $10 million in cap savings, but still nearly $12 million in dead money.
So $12 million in dead money. So they did save $10 million, Dusty, but you got to take that $12 million hit. So not exactly perfect for the Giants. What kind of player is he? Because you look at the Chiefs secondary, and with Trent McDuffie and Legarius Sneed and James Bradbury, suddenly your secondary would really be a strength on this football team. Then you add in the Jalen Watsons, the Joshua Williams they drafted. And you think about some of these quarterbacks the Chiefs are playing. Herbert twice, Carr twice, Russell Wilson twice, Tom Brady, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. There's only about four games where you don't like have an elite-level quarterback playing. But decent teams like the Titans, they don't have an elite-level quarterback. Or the Niners can run the ball extremely well. But they're not happy with Trey Lance. Trying to move Jimmy Garoppolo, but still there's like four games where there's not really a quarterback battle that you want to see. Like the Chiefs are loaded with these quarterback battles. Here's Sean Marash that was on with Carrington Harrison a while back. He's on CBS Sports Radio, and he covers the Giants and absolutely loves James Bradbury.
if you're getting James Bradbury as a corner, you are getting a legitimate top 20 corner in the NFL, a legitimate number one corner in the NFL. In fact, you could make the case that Dave Gettleman might be the worst Giants, or worst general manager in the NFL in the last 20 years, and the one proper talent evaluation he's had is James Bradbury. He drafted him in Carolina in the second round out of Samford, made sure to sign him the moment he was a free agent, and he was the general manager of New York. But he's a guy who made the Pro Bowl in 2020, got off to a little bit of a slow September start, but is a guy that won't kill you with speed, but ultimately sticks with every number one receiver. And in fact, you circle back on that Chiefs-Giants Monday night game. Giants had no business in that game. James Bradbury opposite of Dory Jackson were two of the biggest reasons they were in that game, giving Patrick Mahomes fit.
And he's good at man coverage, something they're looking at, but he also makes, you know, his share of tackles as well. Not afraid to come up and tackle from that cornerback position. Played a lot of left cornerback for the Giants. But interception-wise, he's got 15 picks since 2016. Had four picks last year. So I like him. I like Bradbury a lot. Would cost him, essentially, I think Carrington thought the spot rack had like 2 years, $20 million. Even though he was slotted to probably make over $18 million this year. Obviously, that's not going to happen for him. So he's got to bring the price tag down. He's still in his 20s, so he's still in that prime for cornerbacks. He's 28 years old right now. So, yeah, that's still pretty good for James Bradbury. And CBS Sports looked at the top seven landing spots. The Vikings, the Chiefs, Eagles, Raiders, Patriots, Bills, and the Washington Commanders. That all be looking for his services. The Texans actually tried to work out a trade with him, probably when they lost Lonnie Johnson. So all of a sudden, you have more interest on bringing in James Bradbury. But, you know, cornerback was definitely served. Five defensive backs were drafted by the Chiefs in the top 10 picks. And then you're thinking about pass rush. Well, George Karloftis actually from the edge. Leo Chenal that had eight sacks last year, but blitzing from the inside linebacker position. But it's probably not as strong as you want to see it. You make your secondary this strong, good things happen for your football team, especially the teams that they're playing, and the fact that you're putting Patrick Mahomes on the field a lot more than he has in the past. But, like, I get this one, Dusty, because, you know, every time somebody's out there and you say, should the Chiefs go get him, the answer unequivocally on this is yes. Go get James Bradbury because he brings an experience. I mean, you do lose Ward, but your secondary got better already with Trey McDuffie, which I think is going to be a superstar with the Chiefs. But Bradbury's been there, done that.
The other thing that is that this is once again a situation in which Brett Veach played well. If, in fact, he does, lure this fish in with his, strategy, because I don't know who's to blame here. I don't know if there's, Bradbury's agent, somebody that works for the Giants, but it was clearly obvious that he was not going to get a deal done and he was not going to get a trade for this individual. So everyone kind of just stood pat and waited for the news that dropped today, which was he's a free agent.
Called their bluff. Called their bluff.
And they were just like, well, we know that we're not going to do it. So that's step one, I think, in this long process. And then two, you have a secondary that's been, I'm not going to say sealed, but I would say it's patched up and it's a good situation. You had a guy like James Bradbury with his type of talent, and you've got a pretty decent, solid situation in the secondary here with Kansas City as they have to revamp that defense because, as we know, the AFC West is no joke and the AFC itself is no joke. There's a lot of great quarterbacks. There's a lot of good wide receivers in this league, and everyone's coming for you. And the Chiefs have clearly they've had a little bit of surgery, a facial, I guess you could call that, a new job to make this team look different. Their offense is different. There's no Tyreek Hill. There's no Jarvarius Ward. There's no Tyrann Mathieu. There's no Dan Sorensen. And a lot of those names you hear and you say, well, thank goodness. But then the other part about it is once you start hearing that and you kind of take a step back, you go, okay, this is a new team. This is a revamped team. Because as we were talking earlier, Binkley, like windows shut for teams that don't make moves. And the Tennessee Titans window is completely closed, locked, and the curtains are pulled. Tannehill's saying the wrong thing at the media thing. You got Derrick Henry, and then you lost your star receiver in A.J. Brown. So now it's like, well, what are you going to do? You don't have a backup plan. The thing that you can always look at with the Chiefs as we wrap this Bradbury thing up is they have a backup plan. They drafted their corners. I'm not saying that all those five they draft are going to make it. McDuffie was a steal, and like you say, and like I've heard a lot of people say, he's going to be good. There should be a lot of trust in that. You still have a L'Jarius Sneed, still have a Juan Thornhill, but if you add more and you get quicker and you have a guy that Andy Reid said, like Carl Laftis, who has a motor that literally sticks out, you're going to get pressure, you're going to have a solid secondary, you're going to see a new type of Chiefs team. That's exactly what they're doing, because everybody else is trying to get better and better than you. You've got to stay above float or you'll drown quick.
It's that Max Crosby motor. But here's the thing, Dusty. Brett Veach said it, man. Like, his press conferences pre-draft are not really smoke and mirrors. He goes, they have 16, 18 guys rated as first-rounders. He said if there's somebody there 19 or 20 or 21, he'll go down and get them.
Right.
And that's exactly what he did with Trent McDuffie coming down. Coming up next, Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com.
This is Bink at Night on your home for Royals baseball and the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Joining us now, the editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com. You know him as Pete Sweeney. Good evening, Pete.
How's it going, Jay?
Hey, well, the schedule release is just starting to trickle out. I would say that you're going to have some free time because you've been at rookie camp. We'll get that in a minute. But the schedule release is trickling out. Now, you didn't have anything to do today because the first games released were Week 2 Monday Night Football doubleheader. Tennessee Titans, the Buffalo Bills, rematch from last year where the Titans won because the Bills couldn't carry over what they did against the Chiefs. Now, the interesting thing is that game's Monday, September 19th at 6:15 Central. But the Minnesota Vikings at the Philadelphia Eagles, Monday, September 19th, same day at 7:30 Central on ABC. So that's the first one released today on ESPN/ABC Morning Show. Pete, playing two games at one time, I'm not a fan of this.
No, I don't get it. I don't get it. I think they could have easily staggered. And yes, I can understand why there would be some pushback because people would still be at work when the first game would be starting if you, like, go 5 Eastern and 8 Eastern. But even still, I think you'd rather watch the conclusion of one game and be able to watch the whole game of another matchup. And so I think there was a slight botch by the NFL. You'll be able to catch the end of both games, but having to choose when you have the Disney company that runs both ABC and ESPN just didn't make a lot of sense to me. It could have been a really great night of a doubleheader, full doubleheader of football.
Especially since they spent all that money on Joe and Troy, you know. You'd think they'd want to, spotlight them.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, where's the Manning cast go? How does that all work?
It's
a little confusing. I really liked in previous years where you do have that West Coast game late.
Me too.
You catch the full game as opposed to – I'm in complete agreement with you.
Well, the way it's supposed to work tomorrow is CBS game released a select game on the morning show. Then Fox Wednesday. Thursday will be NBC. And then Thursday at 5, teams release their first home game. And then at 7 o'clock, they finally release the entire schedule. This thing is dragging on forever. I love it because the NFL just keeps doing things right. Now, it's a select game, right, Pete? This could be any time during the season tomorrow when it's announced on CBS.
Yeah, it seems like they're leaning into the bigger games, which make so we'll find out. I tend to think they're trying to give each team an announcement here in a sense. So I'm not sure if we'll hear the Chiefs' names again in a game connected until what would be Thursday with the big release. I am eager to see who the Chiefs start against. We do know that game will be on the road. We're just waiting on the opponent.
Yeah, I'm just curious if NBC would put, like, the Buccaneers and Chiefs on Sunday Night Football or the Chiefs-Bills on Sunday Night Football. Like, I'm kind of waiting for that.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it also depends upon CBS protection. You know, that could be a game that maybe you have one of these markets, or I should say stations, that wants to protect that game. And then rather than getting it maybe on Sunday Night Football, you get Chiefs and Bucks in that late afternoon window that they kind of consider what would be their game of the week. So there's a lot of options here. Eager to see the full schedule because I know this, and I know you feel the same way, and I think a lot of people in Kansas City feel the same way. You can't really plan the rest of your year until you know when the Kansas City Chiefs are playing. And so we'll finally find all that out on Thursday night.
Do you like the way they do this, Pete? Because I remember a short time ago where you and I did this about 5 years ago, and we got laughed at. And we thought it was a big deal, but it wasn't that big a deal. I mean, it's turned into an animal.
Yeah, no, it certainly has become what is just another one of those NFL pillars, and I think you know it's a worthy cause, just because the thing about Kansas City in planning and trying to get ready for the fall, for a lot of teams around the league, and you know they have just as passionate fans as Chiefs fans, and so I think it's a big time for NFL fans, and they could really figure out, okay, not only like am I going to go here, you know, from all my home games, maybe I can finally plan, you know, where I'm going to travel. I know a lot of Chiefs fans like to travel to one game a year, so you can probably start to do that as well.
Yeah, you need to make that Vegas trip, Pete.
You know me, I go to all the home games, and I try to go to at least a handful of these important road games. And so we'll see what the Raiders' record is by the time we get to the Vegas game. Maybe I will have to head on out to Las Vegas.
Pete, we'll talk about rookie minicamp here in a second. We're talking to Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com. And Pete, when you think about the Chiefs this year and you know some of the pressures that the Bengals are going to have now, they don't have high Super Bowl odds. It's one of the lowest, actually, for returning AFC champion. But are teams going to be able to carry that bullseye on their back? Because I know last year the Bills couldn't do it. If anybody in Buffalo really wants to complain about what happened, how about the game was in Kansas City when they should have taken care of business and had the game in Buffalo? Because it very easily could have been played there had they kept up their end of the bargain, not losing to teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars or Cincinnati. Because, you know, they kind of got a free pass last year. They had four wins the year before. Now teams are going to play them differently. I think a lot of these teams are going to see the same treatment the Chiefs have seen lately.
Yeah, I think there is some of that. And it was the Chiefs for a long time because they just were the class. And, you know, you go to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row, who else are you going to feel that way about? But I think a lot of people respect the Bills. I tend to think the Bills are going to be the most popular pick to win the AFC. It doesn't seem like anyone wants to pick the Chiefs. It doesn't seem like the popular pick. So I could see a lot of people picking the Buffalo Bills to win the AFC. So with that will come a target in itself. Then you have the AFC champions, tough to say that, in Kansas City, but you have the AFC champions and the Cincinnati Bengals who will be getting other teams' best shot now because they went to the Super Bowl. And the Chiefs remain on top. I mean, this is still a team that for the last 4 years in a row has been in the Final Four. So if you can get a win against Kansas City, especially in Kansas City, I think that means a lot for your franchise. So I do still feel like the Chiefs will get some of that treatment as well.
Pete, you're fresh off the rookie minicamp. It ended today. It was a three-day camp that they had. Andy Reid spoke today about some of the rookies. It's been defensive back heavy. Five defensive backs were selected out of the 10 picks in the draft this year. Obviously, they're looking at all the quarterbacks they play next year. It's the who's who in the National Football League, and really only four teams don't have elite-level quarterbacks in the next year the Chiefs play. But with Trent McDuffie especially, how did you like him today? And also, would you take a gander at James Bradberry, who was released today? Or are they going to be just fine?
Well, the Chiefs have thrown so many darts at cornerback and really just defensive back in general. And you've created a situation in Kansas City where you have a lot of these guys. You could say it about the wide receiver position as well. You have a lot of these guys that are vying for about two or three spots. And not to say that James Bradberry is necessarily going to be at risk of making the team. I think if he came here, he'd make the team. But for a team that went so heavily invested in defensive backs, you wonder if he would want to maybe go somewhere else where he can be the certain guy, the guy that runs that room. You know, you have other players in Kansas City as well. I think if Bradberry wants to come to Kansas City, I think why not? I think the room is very much unproven, and why not put another veteran in there for the right price that, you know, maybe it's a one-year deal where plays 1 year for Kansas City, plays really well, and then can go hit the open market and really prove himself and prove his worth. He didn't have a great final year with the New York Giants. So I think there is room there. And then when it comes to McDuffie and watching him, because this is really the future of Kansas City, this is their first rounder that they ended up trading up for, I thought it was really interesting to see that he was working all over the field at rookie minicamp. I wonder, and this is just me wondering out loud, if the Chiefs would maybe leave L'Jarius Sneed as an outside cornerback, your number one guy, and maybe it could be McDuffie taking over that role where, you know, when you are in the nickel and dime, you see him going into the slot. You saw him working the slot, which is a little bit different than what Andy Reid said initially after the draft. So It looks pretty good out there. It's tough to really judge these guys in shorts, but you like that a lot of them got their feet under them this weekend.
Yeah, I heard you asking Andy Reid that question. Also, so I assume you have McDuffie as a starter. What about George Karlaftis? Because, you know, Andy Reid, you know, talk about him going 100 miles an hour today. I had his head coach on, Jeff Brohm, over draft weekend. Yeah. He's got a relentless motor. To me, I know people have made comparisons, and I throw out Max Crosby. I mean, that kind of just relentless motor. You can't slow them down. You can't stop them. They're just going to come at you every single second. That's who Max Crosby is to me. That's who he reminds me of. We might see a lot of him. Even if Melvin Ingram comes back, we could be seeing a lot of George Karlaftis. At least it looks that way here. What do you think, Pete?
Yeah, I would completely agree. And when it comes to McDuffie, you know, just briefly, I think in an ideal world, the Chiefs have McDuffie and Snead as starters in the base. And if McDuffie can learn that nickel quick, then maybe he becomes the guy that goes in and you see Rashad Fenton come in on the outside. So remains to be seen how they work it. I know they're going to be learning that in training camp. And then you're right, with George Karlaftis, I saw him at camp and he didn't look like a rookie. He didn't look like a guy that was taking his first snaps in the NFL, which is exactly what you needed to see at rookie minicamp. So now, a couple weeks here, May 25th, we'll get to see how he performs in these organized team activities, OTAs, and building all towards training camp and really padded practices. And, I mean, that's the one thing that you could tell with a lot of these guys when it comes to intensity on the defensive side of the football. Like, Karlaftis, as Andy Reid said today, is going to be needed to told, like, hey, let's not kill our teammates when they get to like a thud period or even a tackle period of training camp. I feel the same way about Aleo Chennault, and I think that fits well with what Nick Bolton was already bringing to the table. You know that Justin Reid is going to be wanting to prove himself. So it's a young defense that loves intensity and loves turning it on, and I think it's going to be very different than maybe what we saw in what was like an older version of the Chiefs defense last year.
And last but not least, Pete, I'll ask you about Darian Kennard, the offensive lineman, the right tackle.
Yeah.
He seems like a guy that would fit right in with what they're doing. And, you know, it's going to be a different-looking offensive line this year, even though it's basically the same guys, but having a year of working together is so big for offensive linemen, and you're really looking at the line for Mahomes into his 30s. But it looks like I would not be shocked if we're at the first day of St. Joe and he's the starting right tackle. I know Wiley's back, but torn patellar tendon coming for Lucas Niang, that is hard to do, especially a man that size. But I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up being a starter for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I don't know about day one. They might go in that direction. They were pretty confident in Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith right away last year, so you never know. I think Andrew Wiley's kind of earned at least the first crack, but I think very soon into training camp, you'll see them alternating. And that, to me, is the very the only battle, I should say, on the offensive line is right tackle. And the Chiefs are treating him like a right tackle. What was funny is I think a lot of people assumed, and draft analysts assumed, that whatever team drafted him, he was going to be moving inside. And the Chiefs have said and been consistent in saying that, no, we see him as a right tackle. Andy Reid, after watching him for 3 days, was very complimentary of what Kennard was bringing to the table. And I think he has a real shot here to start as a rookie. And then you have a really complete offensive line. You guys, he's got these guys on their rookie deals for the most part. Joe Tooney is signed long-term. If you can figure it out with Orlando Brown, man, you're locked in, which is kind of incredible to say that you completed this overhaul of the offensive line, quality players, young players, and we're able to do it in two off seasons time. Very impressive job by Brett Veach. Again, if Kennard is able to pan out.
I know he said last question, Pete, but I have to ask about Justin Ross. Everybody's asking about Justin Ross. Andy Reid talked about him today. No, everybody's talking about undrafted free agent. Andy Reid said him was a little slower at the start, but last couple days has looked good. Who knows? They're in shorts or whatever, but he'll have his chance in St. Joe.
He'll have his chance in St. Joe, and you know, I was putting out these notes on Twitter, and it certainly was the most popular player that was asked about. He is got the attention of the fan base. I think a lot of fans are hoping that Brett Veach got one on the rest of the NFL and getting this guy in camp. Through 3 days in shorts, and I'll emphasize that, I didn't really see it. You know, you're looking at two possible wide receiver positions that might be open for what would be a Justin Ross. I couldn't wrap my head around from what I saw in this brief look of him winning one of those two positions, especially if he's not a guy who's going to play special teams. That remains to be seen. He's a little bit oversized and a little bit too slow, I think, for special teams. But again, you know, that's going to be up to Dave Tobe. And, like, you know, if I had to predict right now, and it's my way too early prediction, I could see the Chiefs maybe moving on from Ross because they don't have the room, and then him ending up getting a receiver position with another team. But we're so early here. He could look better in OTAs, and he could look better in training camp. But, yeah, I wasn't so impressed with Justin Ross, at least through this look.
Well, OTAs, minicamp start. They start really on May 18th is when the first day starts and go through. Pete, always enjoy talking to you, my friend. Thank you very much.
All right, Pink. Take care.
This is Bink at Night on your home for Royals baseball and the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Bink at Night, Jim Binkley, Dusty Likens. Get that AC on yet, Dust Man?
You better believe it, Binkley. Damn it, I'm going to be real with you real fast. Because I don't understand. This music's kind of nice. Kind of reminds me of the show True Blood, a little Louisiana blues country. Feels good for the weather that we have today. Okay, so let's dive into it. You can't be this person. You know what? You can be whatever you want. I'm not going to say you can't be anything. But the people that were pissed all last week with how rainy it was and how wet it was outside, and I was one of those people. Like, come on, man. Like, 90% of my life, I want to be outside.
Can I take me something honest? I really didn't mind.
The rain?
I didn't mind.
Yeah.
I didn't mind.
I mean, I don't know. So, like, I like to do a lot of stuff outside. Love to golf.
Yeah.
Love to walk.
Well, yeah, if you're doing that
love
stuff,
to,
yeah.
Love to grill out. And I have an overhang on my patio, at my house. But what's annoying is that, like, all these people that were upset with the rain and the gray skies and all this, now we're still upset because it's 90 degrees and you got to put your AC on. There's a few things.
What's the gas price, Dust Man?
I get it. I get it. You know, it sucks. You know, thanks. Gas prices, Putin. But the thing about it is that, like, I'd rather it be 90 and hot than it be rainy and 60. Like, that's just me. And the reason so is, to me, like I told you, if I had my way, there's a cold beer in one hand, there's a grill that's on fire right now, and there's probably a chicken breast, a pork chop, a burger, a brat, a steak, salmon filet. Something's getting cooked on the grill tonight. And somebody might be like, oh, it's too hot to grill. No. It's perfect to grill because now it's the evening. You got a cold one. This is okay weather with me. I'm okay with this. I'm not okay when it's just a monsoon constantly in the backyard. Prepare for it. Wear light clothing, short sleeve shirt, shorts.
Well, I know you can't do it. Just grab a chicken sandwich on the way home. You know, that'd be a call tonight. You know?
That might happen because they got this new Buffalo Ranch chicken sandwich at Popeyes that your boy's probably going to hit up.
Can you get anything better than that?
I don't know. That combo? I mean, that's up there with chocolate and peanut butter.
You know, I've been throwing buffalo sauce on macaroni.
I'm okay
with
that.
Let me tell you something. It's a game changer. I was telling B-Dub about it.
Oh,
he was talking about his
connoisseur
macaroni.
There.
He tried it. You know, B-Dub tried it. He liked it. Throw some buffalo sauce on macaroni.
You can't get wrong
and
with hot sauce.
I can't cook worth the crap. And, you know, I almost said the bad word, but I did. I almost had a dump button myself.
People gripe no matter what. Last week was fine. This weather sucks. How does this weather suck?
It's hot. An AC goes on, and your car takes more gas.
Well,
it's an expensive time
of
year.
You can roll
man.
The windows down. I had a.
Do you know how cheap utilities were in April, in March?
Yeah, that's called
like
seasonal
cheap.
Weather.
But I know it is seasonal. Yeah. But you know, I mean, I get this little Evergy thing every week. This email it tells me how much I spent. Like I'm in a war with Evergy.
Yeah.
So I like to be less than the week before.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm real cautious about being less than the next week. I'm like
right.
real careful about that.
Well, they send you an email once a week. They'll be
yeah,
like, here's
it.
How you saved this
say,
week.
I spent $4 last week less.
Yeah. See, you're doing something
that
right.
Like, that was like a victory to me.
Yeah. Well, you're going to spend $4 more this week.
Yeah. It felt good.
I like this weather,
but
man.
If I had to put the AC on, it changed it because I got to have it cool, man. You know, this is ridiculous, Dusty, but I set my thermostat at 59 degrees.
Okay.
When it's cold.
Yeah.
And if it gets less than 59, it kicks on. But it usually doesn't because usually, you know.
Well, I mean, in the wintertime, you just throw on an extra hoodie. You throw on an extra blanket on the bed. You just, you know, you do it. You go get a heated blanket, whatever you want to do. I don't know. Today, you turn the AC on and you sleep like a baby at night. That's what I got to say.
Well, I think the best thing to do tonight is you go and get your chicken sandwich.
That's right.
You swing by Quick Trip and get your, what do you do, half ice and half shaved ice?
I tweeted that out, @DustyLikens, if you want to respond. I said, when you go to Quick Trip, How do you fill your cup? I'll tell you how I do it. Big Q, quarter of cubed ice, just a quarter. Quarter of cubed ice. I'm sorry, crushed ice. Quarter of crushed ice, and then the rest with whatever beverage you get.
Why don't you just go crushed ice the whole thing?
Because I don't want to fill my cup up with crushed ice. I get there for the drink, not the ice.
Have you ever noticed those fridges that have the ice makers and
stuff? They're awesome. Like
the crush never works.
No, it's always like very...
It never works.
It's like peeing after sex. It sprays everywhere.
And then the ice maker won't work much longer either.
No.
Which is a real luxury to have it.
Yeah, I just more so like the refrigerator because it's got the filtered tap for water. You never know.
And then you're
like
buying ice.
That's right.
It defeats
But no, today's a perfect day. Now, you can't golf a lot today. Today's a bad golf day because the wind. There's like 26-mile-an-hour winds
Every
out of the south.
Every damn day's been windy.
It's been a little nuts. But today's tough. But today's a good day to mow. Fill up that cup. You know, a quick trip, quarter of ice, crushed ice, Gatorade, slam that sucker. And then once you're done mowing, you see your perfect lines, you sit in your lawn chair, and you just chill with a cold one. And if you don't drink, have a nice iced tea. I don't know what to tell you. Sweet tea, however you drink it. Or an Arnold Palmer. Those are really good, too.
Coming up next, the NFL schedules are being trickled out on morning shows. I'll let you know who's trickling one out tomorrow. Plus, we'll talk about the Royals and what the hell's going on next.
This is Bink at Night on your home for Royals baseball and the official broadcast partner.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.